our eyes on you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We welcome you in this place, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, I just thank you for Grant. God, I pray you bless him and touch his body. And God, as he's going through this whole treatment process, Lord, we just pray for a miracle and for breakthrough in him. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. And I pray for anyone who's feeling overwhelmed today, God. I just ask, Lord, for just waves of your love to wash over each one of us, God, that we wouldn't feel stressed, that we wouldn't feel anxious, that we wouldn't feel worried, but that we'd be able to rest in you. So God, we give you every burden. We lay them at your feet. We cast all our cares upon you. For your yoke is easy and your burden is light. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. It feels weird with all the kids gone. It's like half of us are missing. This morning, I just want to share something that's been brewing my heart for a few weeks. And I'd been planning to talk about this next chunk of scripture. We had gone through the Lord's Prayer, if you remember, before Easter, and then kind of took a break from talking about prayer for Easter. And I'd been wanting to walk through this next chunk of Luke chapter 11. And anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I was out for a walk and just praying. And have you ever had God just kind of show up unexpectedly and just begin to work on your heart? And anyway, it was just one of those moments. I was listening to a podcast. I don't remember really much of what they were talking about, other than they, in the middle of it, they shared this testimony. And this lady came up to a pastor who was at a restaurant at having lunch with some people and pulled out hearing aids out of her pocket and said, "I was at your church this week and I got prayed for and I've been healed." And just... And I remember in the podcast, they began to talk about the importance of the testimony and how we give thanks and we share what God has done in our lives, that we not lose sight and not forget. And it just began to, for whatever reason, that story just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I just began to thank God for the many, many, many times that I've seen him move in my life. I've seen him answer prayer. I've seen him do the impossible. I've seen him come through when it seems like, you know, God, what do we do? And there's no hope and there's no answer. And I've seen him over and over and over again. And so I was just walking and began to pray. I think I listened to the rest of the podcast, but I just began to pray and talk to God. And it's like he brought things to mind from my past. And I felt him challenging me to pray big things, to pray big prayers again, to believe for more and expect for more. And so as I was walking, I was just reminded that when we hear testimony, it reminds us of the nature of God. It reminds us of who he is. It reminds us of what he's about. Amen? And so I don't know if you've even thought recently about the things that God has been doing in your life that he's done in the past, maybe 10, 20, even 30 years ago, or maybe it was yesterday, but don't forget and don't lose sight of the ways that God has provided, how he's broken through, how he's healed, how he's saved, how he's delivered you and your family. Amen? And so... I was walking and talking to God, and I began to ponder, you know, the things that I've seen, it's because of prayer. It's because of learning to step out in faith and just go after who, you know, we get glimpses in scripture. We see who he is. We see his nature. As we get to know God personally, we get glimpses and understanding of this is who God is. But what's really beautiful is when you see him move in your life and you go, that's God. That's what he's like. He answers prayer. He hears my cries. He cares about what I'm facing. He cares about what I'm going through. And so I've seen some pretty wild things in my life. And I've shared a lot of them here. But, you know, I just began to think about some of my favorite stories. I'm like, Lord, I remember going into a mall after we had prayed about reaching out to people and just praying, Lord, who do we talk to? And I remember having this flash of a picture of a person with a crutch or a cane, and that's all I saw. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to look for somebody with a crutch or a cane. And I walked into the mall, and the first person I saw was this about approximately 55, 60-year-old lady walking with a cane. And began to talk to her, and she had degenerative bone disease. And I thought, well, that's rough. Like, that's not easy to just pray for, like, a headache. And but I just felt, let's go after this because God had showed the picture. And so we prayed for her, and she walked out of that mall with the cane on her shoulder and a big smile on her face saying, I'm praying free for the first time in years. Though I don't want to forget those things. I don't want to forget the times. You know, I remember one time teaching at youth camp, and I didn't know the youth leader that was sitting right in the front row like this. And I was talking about how as children of God, that we can pray for healing and expect to see God move because he's alive in us. And I walked up to the guy as I was talking and I said, and you can pray for healing in the name of Jesus when you lay your hands on people. Bam, and I hit him in the shoulder. I had no clue that he had a torn rotator cuff. And he waited 3 days to tell me, but he came up to me 3 days later and he said, I wanted to make good and sure that I was healed because I don't believe in healing. And he said, I've been throwing a ball for days, just making sure. I've been waiting for it to hurt again, and it doesn't hurt. He said, I haven't been able to do that in years. And I said, okay, what? I was so lost. And he said, when you were talking about healing and you hit me in the shoulder, he said, I felt like lightning go through my body, and something happened. He said, all the pain left. And he said, I've been throwing a ball around for 3 days, and I'm completely healed. Amen. I was like an accidental healing. I'd look at, I've been standing, I remember standing in a hospital room in Swift Current, and I've hit that shock button several times. And I felt the prodding of the Lord to say, pray. And so I whispered, I speak life in Jesus' name. And watching on the monitor that's going flat, all of a sudden, boop, 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 boop. I mean, you weren't there. You don't know, but I know. And that has marked me forever. Because I saw how easy it is when we walk in faith. And it can be big things like that. It can be little things. I was so blessed last week. If you were here, a guy named George was here from Medicine Hat, and he's reaching out to Muslims. Well, their family was downstairs after lunch, and we prayed for them. And I just had a real simple word for his daughter. I can't even remember what it was, other than I felt like the Lord showed me that she was a princess. He saw her as a princess, whatever. And her dad came up to me after and said, did you know that her name means princess? I was like, well, that's so cool. And so even little things, it just, the reality of understanding that we are walking with God, and when we learn to commune with him, when we learn to get to know him, he partners with us. That's his heart. That's part of this relationship that we walk in. And so I was thinking about when John the Baptist questioned Jesus, he sent questions. Are you the Messiah? Are you the one we've been waiting for? What did Jesus do? He responded by saying, the lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised. He sent a testimony. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves of how good God is and what he's doing. And it encourages us to keep praying, to keep pressing in, to keep going after all that the Bible shows us is available to us in him. Amen? I hope you're convinced. We so easily forget the kindness and the goodness of God. We forget what he's done. And then we face something and we go, God, where are you? This is impossible. We need to remind ourselves, no, God is with us today, in the moment, the thing that we're facing right now, the same God that broke through in your life, just like he's broken through in mine. Psalm 119, I'm not going to read them, but there's several verses in Psalm 119. In verse 14, it says, rejoice in the way of your testimony. It talks about the testimony in Psalm 119, how it's a beautiful thing for us. In verse 31, it says, cling to his testimonies. And in verse 111, it says, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. We need to remind ourselves. And I pray that even right now, you'd begin to think about, God, what have you done in my life? How have you proven yourself faithful? How have you shown yourself kind and broken through? And maybe you've never seen God move. That's okay. Then I hope that stories like mine will encourage you, and it's an invitation. That's the beauty of a testimony, is if God will do it for me, he'll do it for you. Because it's not about me, it's about the truth of who he is. He's our Savior. He's our Deliverer. He's our Provider. He's our Healer. If he hears my prayers, he hears yours too. And I'm by no means perfect. But God has done so many things through my life. And I pray that what I've seen would be an encouragement and invitation that God wants to move in your life too. We just celebrated the life of Emil Siegel this last week in Medicine Hat, 96 years young. And I don't think I've ever been, I don't want to cry, I don't think I've ever been to a more beautiful funeral. And I left there going, God, I pray that my life looks like that. So thankful for a man who, and if those of you don't know him, Emil and Millie, they were one of the two couples that actually helped start this church 40 years ago with a vision to reach young people in the Hatton Hills, and it came here. And they moved to Medicine Hat, I think it was around 3 or 4 years ago. One of the most beautiful, sweet people you've ever met, and one of the greatest examples of what it means to follow Jesus. His entire life. You know what was really interesting? My mom was reminding me that for around 15 years when my parents came, Emil and Millie and another couple would meet with my parents 7 a.m. Thursday mornings and pray every single week. And they, one of the things I loved when I heard Emil's family talking about his life, they got up and talked about how Emil taught them to pray, how he spent time in prayer, how he faithfully prayed and always said thank God and lived a life of thanksgiving. And I thought, what an amazing example and what an amazing heritage for us as a church too. This is what we're called to do, to pray, to lead in, to press into who God is. Amen? I really feel like God is calling us to go deeper in our prayer life, personally and corporately. I believe he's calling us to pray big prayers and to step into all that he has for us. And so I want to just, we'll see how far we get. I know I'm not going to get through everything I want to share today, but we'll jump into Luke chapter 11. And if you remember, before Easter, we went through the first four verses of Luke 11, which is when the disciples come to him and say, Lord, teach us to pray. And he gives them the Lord's Prayer, right? And I find it fascinating that after spending all this time with Jesus, the disciples wanted to learn how to pray. After 3 years of watching him do miracles, 3 years of watching him do all these amazing things, they're like, teach us, Lord, how to pray. And I think that that should be a cry in our heart too, Lord, teach me how to pray more. And so you go through the Lord's Prayer, and then it comes to this chunk of scripture, this story. And I just want to focus on this today. It might end up being a couple weeks, but teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me, the door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you, but I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks find, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. I'll stop there. So there's this picture that we see in the Bible. And again, Jesus just taught his disciples about prayer, the start of Luke 11. Gave them the Lord's Prayer. And then he begins to shifts from what to pray to the posture of prayer. And it's this picture of persistence and aggressiveness and going after God and pursuing him and understanding that he is all that we need, that he is a good father who wants to give us more than what we need even. Amen? You guys with me? He actually cares about what you face. I don't know about if you've ever been a father. I know that some of you are, some of you aren't. That's okay. But as a dad, I want to bless my kids. I want them to learn. I want them to work for things. I want them to learn a lot of things. But when it comes to giving them gifts, or even when they ask me for things, it's almost a pleasure to be able to provide for what they want and need. And if, as an earthly dad who messes up lots, has that intention, has that desire, just think about how much more our loving Heavenly Father wants to give us what we need. I was reading about this story, and it actually, the connotation with some of the words there is that in their culture, when a visitor came to a village, it was the responsibility to actually take care of a visitor. It wasn't like, oh, it's annoying that they're here. And the fact they showed up at midnight was pretty common because they walked at night. It's hot during the day in the desert. And so wouldn't it be unusual for someone to show up like that at night? But what's interesting is that it would bring shame on the rest of the village if they didn't respond and go, here's the bread. And so for it wasn't because of the friendship or anything like that. Like Jesus is saying, this is almost like a humorous story to them when Jesus talks about it, because they know that there's no way that if someone's knocking at your door and saying, I've got a visitor, that they wouldn't respond, because they wanted to make sure that person was cared for. That was their culture. And so when it talks about shameless persistence, it's this idea that like we can shamelessly ask because, you know, just to save face, the bread would have been provided. And just think about how much more God, who loves us and cares for us, will look after our needs. He cares about what you want. He cares about what you need. It doesn't mean that he's, the magic factory where anything I ask is exactly how I want it comes. He knows what's best for us too, doesn't he? And he also wants us to understand that there is this relationship of faith that we have to learn to walk in. Because if I could show up and say, God, I need this today, and I need it fast, and I need it this big, there would be no faith ever involved, would there? Lord, I need money for my whatever. I need this, I need that. I want a bigger house, I want this. And if we approach God like that, we would never understand that there is an element of learning to listen, learning to walk, learning to go, God, actually, what do you want from me? Because if he's Lord of my life, I actually have to submit and surrender my heart, my desires, my will to him. And so when I learn to pray according to his will, it's because I'm surrendering what I want and what I expect and what I demand. But then as I do that, and as I learn to grow in relationship with him, he leads me in even how to pray. The picture of coming at midnight can also represent the hour that we're in, the midnight hour, the sense of urgency, the sense of like it's time to get desperate with our prayer. I can't remember all the details, but have you heard of they made the doomsday clock, right? After nuclear weapons were created, I should have looked it up, but they created this clock, and the idea was these scientists and whoever actually just get together every year and kind of set where the clock is at before the end of the world. It's kind of telling us, this is how close we think we are to the end. And again, from what I understand, they're like literally within a minute of midnight now is where they have us in the world. Now, they don't get the final say, do they? But at the same time, there should be this urgency in our heart that what we see going on in the world, it shouldn't freak us out. It shouldn't make us go, what do we do? We need to get on our face and understand that we know the one who can provide. We know the one who can change things. We know the one. See, the cool thing is he's asking for bread. You know what else bread represents? It represents Jesus. So my wife was really kind last night and made you all some bread. And could you guys hand those out? And if you need gluten-free, we even have some gluten-free here. But I want you just to hold this, because I want you to think about this while I talk about this morning. Bread represents Jesus. And so in this example, all right, this friend comes and says, I need some bread. I need some bread. It represents the body of Jesus. How many of you have people in your life, he asked for 3 loaves because one might be enough for him, but to also be able to give away. And when someone comes to you and is in need and needs hope and needs life and needs peace, do you have Jesus, enough of Jesus in your life to be able to give him away? Or are you struggling and so worried about yourself that you can't even provide? Bring hope. Bring direction. Do you know Jesus? Do you know his goodness? Do you trust that he can provide for your needs? There's something about, once we get to that place in our relationship with God where we actually are comfortable with him, like, yeah, you're my Savior, you're my Lord, that we mature to a place where we start to pray big prayers. God, would you save my neighborhood? Would you save my community? Lord, would you save those around me? Lord, would you use me to go? God, would you help me? Lord, I pray for my country. I pray for my province. I pray for breakthrough. I pray that evil would be stopped, and I pray that justice would reign. I pray that the favor of God would be in our country. And you start to think more about others than just yourself. You guys with me? Are you too busy eating the bread? You and I are called to be witnesses. We're called to pray. We're called to lead others. You remember the story of the 10 virgins? They had to be woken up. They're pure, they're spotless. They had to be woken up. They had to be ready. Remember the story of Jesus before he went to the cross? He said to his disciples, stay awake and pray. Many people today are sound asleep spiritually. They don't understand the hour that we're in. They don't understand that it is, that we don't have time to mess around, but we need to reach our neighbors. We need to reach out to those around us that don't know him. And Jesus has more than we need. I don't know if you're hearing me. We are in the hour where people are so desperate for truth and love and good news, and we are the ones who are supposed to have the answer. And if someone comes to you and says, I am struggling with fear or mental illness or health issues or da-da-da-da, we should have an answer. And we need to be on our face praying, God, would you open hearts? Would you open doors? We're not called to just come have a nice little social club. We're called to be the church, to release the love and the power of God wherever we go. Amen. What I've seen the last several years is a lot of people with seemingly everything being shaken around us, COVID and all the nonsense, whatever. People look to politicians. They look to people. And think, well, they're supposed to be my savior. They're supposed to be the answer. They're supposed to help me. Listen, when things are shaking, the government's not the answer. Another human being is not the answer. Technology is not the answer. Education is wonderful, but it's not the answer. You got to turn to him, to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. We need to be people of prayer. Prayer works. Prayer changes things. And if I have time, we'll get into why in a minute here. But there's a story. If you remember the story of Elijah and the way he prayed out of 1 Kings 17 and 18. It says in James 5 that Elijah prayed that the heavens wouldn't rain on the land for 3 years. After the three-year drought, God said to Elijah, and this is in 1 Kings 18:1, it says, go and present yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the land. And so, recently, like there was this, if you remember Elijah, he had this contest with the Baal prophets, and they had this competition set up to see the real God would send fire and all that and burn, and so God showed up and burned up everything at the altar and showed all these prophets that God was the true God. And now you have Elijah who's prayed for drought, and now it's God's idea to pray for rain. And yet we see Elijah goes and he prays multiple times that rain would show up. He didn't just leave it and be like, well, this is God's idea and God said it would happen. He actually went and prayed, not just once, not just twice, but 7 times. James 5, 17 and 18 says, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. The Bible says Elijah was a man just like us. He wasn't 10 feet tall. He didn't live without sin. He didn't have perfect strength in every area. He had weaknesses. He had stumbling blocks. He had failures just like you and I. He was discouraged just like you and I are sometimes. And yet he accomplished all this because the Bible says that he prayed earnestly. He kept pressing in. He kept going after what God had set before him. And so the Bible talks about how he had a servant and he went and prayed again and again. And he'd tell his servant, go check, see if there's any clouds. And he would come back and say, no cloud, no cloud. And on the 7th time, the servant came back and said, I see a cloud the size of a fist. And look at Elijah's response, 1 Kings 18, verses 44. He says, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. All he saw was a cloud the size of a fist, but he began to see that God was responding. In verse 45, it says, meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain came, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. This isn't just like a fun story, all right? This isn't to make, you know, just for no reason at all, but the northern kingdom of Israel had turned away from God. And which is why Elijah later complained that he was the only one who had not bowed down to Baal. But God's judgment of drought and then got the attention of the nation, which made the whole contest with the Baal prophets possible. And through all of that, God displayed his power for the world to see. 1 Kings 18:39 says, when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is good. Or the Lord, he is God. When we obey, when we pray, when we intercede, when we cry out, God responds. When Abraham interceded on behalf of Lot, God spared Lot from the destruction that came to Sodom and Gomorrah. When Moses interceded, God changed his mind about blotting out Israel in the wilderness. When Daniel interceded, God set in motion the deliverance of Israel from Babylonian captivity. When the church prayed, Peter was set free from prison. God will not eliminate the intercessor. Some things and sometimes God will not move unless and until we actually pray. Because he wants to partner with you and I. What does he want to do with you in your life today? Isaiah 59 describes a society as we know it today, full of unrighteous injustice, evil in great proportions. And this is what God's reaction is in Isaiah 59, 15 and 16. It says, the Lord saw it and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intercede. If you've ever wondered what you're called to do, part of it is to pray. I'm amazed at how much we talk about prayer and how little we actually pray. And yet the Bible tells us that we're called to pray, that prayer works, and many of us don't pray about a lot of things in our life. Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, just a simple example of something to follow. In Isaiah 62, in verse 6 and 7, it says, I've posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give them no rest till the day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. We're to keep on asking. We're to keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Give him no rest. I was looking up, you know, when we go back to Luke 11 there, and it says ask, seek, and knock. That word ask, it can be seen as pleading or even demanding. And the reason for that, again, I think is because of who we are. We're his children. I can't strong-arm God, but I can partner with him. And you know what's interesting? And we're not going to get time to go into all this today, but my prayer is not so much for God as it is for me. You ever thought about that? Does God have all the power to do anything? So why is that power not released on the earth all the time? I'm just going to get you wondering things. How do we release God's power? Like, do we have to wait and see if God's in a good mood today to answer a prayer? Do we have to have a magical formula where we can stand on one foot, lift in hand, rub our belly a certain way, and recite a certain scripture, and then he'll answer? No. The Bible tells us that God has already deposited his power in us. Prayer isn't trying to get God to move, but us releasing what God has already done in us. You ever thought about that? Robert Morris does a beautiful job describing it, and I'm going to take 10 minutes. I'm going to try and do this. Is that okay? Because I think I don't want to leave it for another week. But I want you to think about this. I've been wrestling with this, and this is an identity thing that we need to understand. Think about what Jesus did on the cross. He did everything for us, didn't he? Like, he doesn't have to go and die again every time I sin, right? He paid the price once and for all. The Bible also says that he has put his power in us. I want you to see this to understand how important this is for our hearts and the way that we pray, because I think it'll help us come with more confidence and boldness. All right? It says in Luke 24:49, Jesus tells his disciples to stay and says, I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. All right, so we are called to receive the Holy Spirit, to be filled with power. This is something he's given us as a gift for all of us. But we need to be filled. He said in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit is on you. What will happen? You receive power. So he's putting it in us, right? In you when you receive from him. Ephesians 3:20, you probably have heard this scripture many times and probably not paid attention to the end of it. But now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's interesting the way the wording is of this scripture. The Holy Spirit is the power in us. And it's like God adds three adverbs to this verse that at first glance, it's like, why did he write it like that? But this verse could read, God is able to do all that we ask or think. That's what it could say. God is able to do all, right? How much is all? Yeah. So why does he say it? God is able to do above all? How much more than all is above all? And then the Holy Spirit must have been like prompted Paul when he was writing this in the letter to be like, you know, that still doesn't quite make God seem big enough. So why don't you add that God is able to do exceedingly above all? You know what? That's still not enough. How about exceedingly abundantly above all? Do you think there's a point trying to be made? If God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all, and he's able, then why doesn't he? Why don't I see this change in the situation I'm facing? Here's the second part that we need to understand. The scripture that says according to the power within us. The Greek word according is, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but it's kata, which means to the measure of and denotes distribution. So God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think to the measure that we distribute his power. Is what that's saying. So he deposits his power where? In us. But it depends if we distribute it and the measure that we use to distribute it. So God's unlimited power is in us and it's released through us. It's an interesting concept. But it's really amazing. God has chosen to partner with us. Have you ever thought about that? To release his power and his love to this earth. Ezekiel 22, it says, I sought for someone who would stand in the gap with me, and I found no one. There's examples in the scriptures like this, where he is calling us to step up, to pray, to make a difference in this kingdom, in this world. Are you guys following me? All right. I've thought about that for a while. So I want you to think about it too and wrestle with it. But it's so true. He's put the power in you. The power of God is in you. Remember the Bible says that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us? We need to understand this. As a Christian, Jesus is with me. He's in me. I carry his power and his love. So when I pray, what I'm learning to do is actually release what he already did on the cross. It's done. It's finished. Jesus said that. It's done. So when you hear people talk about sickness and death was defeated on the cross, yeah, it's done. The victory over the enemy was already completed. I only give him authority in my life when I hand it to him. You understand how you have to see this? It was finished on the cross. You don't have to make something up new. So we are called to release his power through prayer. There's an analogy in John 7 that Jesus uses about the Holy Spirit. And it's the Feast of Tabernacles that's happening, and it usually lasted 8 days. And for 7 days, they prayed for living water. And this is out of Zechariah 14:8, that there was a prophecy that one day living water would flow from Jerusalem. And so they would gather once a year, they would have this huge feast, and they would feast and pray for 7 days. And then on the eighth day, like often there was a shift because they would pray for that living water to come. And then on the eighth day, if it didn't show up, they'd be like, well, let's just pray for real rain instead of just living water. That's kind of this, they got into this religious thing where it became this show. And what would happen is they would gather the buckets in the morning of water. They would take it down from the pool of Siloam. They would take it and they would pour it over at the temple. And they took these golden pitchers and they pour the water on the altar and pray for living water. And it became this ritual. And so in the mornings they do this, in the afternoons they party. And it became actually this ritual and this thing of an excuse to go and sin. And so this religious atmosphere came out of this, and so many would get drunk, they'd do all this kind of stuff, and for 7 days, they would, you know, it was like this, they didn't really care, they were there for the party. But this is what's happening in John 7 when Jesus stands up on the eighth day, and he makes this announcement. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of the abundance of the heart, what does the Bible say? The mouth speaks. Words come out of our heart. Prayers come out of our heart. And the power that God has put in us comes out when we speak, when we pray. So can I ask you a question? How big is the river that's flowing out of your heart? I need a piece of bun. Are you taking part in the daily bread that he invites us to walk in? Do you understand who you are as a Christian, who you are as a child of God, what is available to you to release his love and power to the world around us? You understand that your words matter, that Jesus accomplished everything on the cross, it's finished. What we need to learn to do is receive by grace and faith all that he's done for you. And we think about that with salvation, and we don't have a hard time about, yeah, I got to receive in faith, and I got to receive by grace, and I got to act it out, but enacted out in my life. But then we often think, but I have to work something up to convince God in my prayer that he might actually care and want to listen to me. But he's good all the time, and he paid for all of that already. And he's put the power of God in you, and he says, now go release it. And he keeps saying in scripture, where are the people that are praying? Where are the people that are crying out? I made this available to you. Sometimes we even get mad at God. We get bitter at him because we're like, God, you didn't answer my prayer. I haven't seen you move. And sometimes he's saying, well, I'm waiting for you to pray. I'm waiting for you to step in faith. And I understand that sometimes we can pray and fight and do our best for years, and it can be hard and it can be painful. And I really honestly believe that this is a journey where we go, God, I don't understand. Like there's sides of this that are a mystery to me. I don't fully understand, but the invitation is keep coming. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't give up. Keep your eyes on who God is. He is able. Don't lose sight of what he has done. Why did Elijah pray 7 times when God said he was going to do it anyway? Jesus told Peter, pray that you don't fall into temptation. I don't think the prayer was for Jesus' sake. It was for Peter. And the Bible says that when Jesus prayed, an angel came and strengthened him. And sometimes I think if we would pray, the Lord might strengthen us too. Instead of us wondering, God, where are you? I'm here. In Daniel 10, you can read the story how Daniel prayed, and yet for 21 days he was fasting and praying and probably wondering, God, I'm tired of not eating. Where are you? Where's the response? And the Bible says that his prayer was heard the first moment he prayed, but there was a spiritual war going on. And so Daniel had to continue to pray. Could you just close your eyes for 1 minute? I don't know what you need today. I don't know the breakthrough or the struggles or everything that you face. But I know that Jesus is more than enough. And I am desperately asking God to help me to have a greater revelation of this, that he has given us daily bread. He offers us what we need. And as a good father, he wants to actually give us everything that we need, but we need to learn to trust him, to come to him, to walk in faith, to have this relational walk with him, that it's not just, God, it's Sunday and I'm here. Look at me, check mark, I showed up. But to actually understand that he paid the price and he has put the power of the Holy Spirit in us so that we can be his agent, that we can walk with him. So if the God who's able to do not just all, not just above all, not just exceedingly above all, but exceedingly abundantly above all in you, is with you today, how has that changed the way that you pray? And I understand that we have to wrestle with the mystery of unanswered prayers sometimes. We have to wrestle with, God, why is this not happening yet? But there's also this element of trust that, God, I'm coming to you and I'm asking, I'm seeking and I'm knocking today because I know that you're a good God, you're a good Father, and you care about me. You care about my loved ones. Lord, I'm praying for their salvation. I'm praying for those around me, my neighbors and my friends, that, Lord, would you use me? Help me, God, to wake up, just like the 10 virgins had to, just like your disciples, you told them, wake up, keep praying. God, would we not be asleep in this hour? And think about, it's all about us and how it's all about my needs and what needs to happen. But God, would you give us a heart for the lost around us? I listened to Robert Morris the other day. He just shared this beautiful story about his grandpa. He said his dad and his grandpa went to a friend's house. And the friend shared the gospel with his grandpa, and his dad stayed out on the steps as a kid and listened. His dad gave his heart to the Lord at that point, but his grandpa refused. And years went on, and Robert talks about how he grew up, became a pastor. And just a year or two before his grandpa passed away, he got the opportunity to share the gospel with him and led him to Christ. And his dad had told him this story about how way back this man had shared the gospel with them. And Robert felt like, I should try to look this guy up. You know, this is years and years later. So he was able to actually find him and contact him. He was still alive. And he went to meet him. And he said, I just want you to know, do you remember this guy's name? Joe whatever. Joe Morris, I guess. Probably. And he said, yeah, I've been praying for him for years. And he said, well, did you know that a long time ago you shared the gospel with him and his son was there on the step? That was my dad. And he said, yeah, I remember that. And he said, well, my dad accepted the Lord there and he had no idea. And he said, so Robert said to him, well, how come you've been praying for Joe all these years? He says, well, he showed him in the back of his Bible and he had the names of all the people in his entire life that he had shared the gospel with. And every time one by one, as they would accept Jesus, he would put a check mark by their name. And he said, every single person had a check mark except for Joe Morris. And he said to him, I just want to let you know that I was able to lead him to the Lord just before he died. And I just want to give you hope today that God hears your prayer. And sometimes it might feel like, Lord, it's been 5 years, it's been 10 years, it's been 15 years. Where are you? Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop knocking. Don't stop believing that he hears your prayer. Let's pray. If you haven't eaten your bread yet, you can eat it. I just want this to stick in your mind that Jesus is enough, that we can go to him and ask for our daily bread. We can go to him and ask for all that we need, and he cares about you. So I want you to think about the things in your life right now where you need the biggest breakthrough. Maybe it's something personally, maybe it's in your family, maybe it's something at work, maybe it's something with your kids. And I want you to begin to ask God to move. But we don't have to pray a begging prayer, but to understand that He's given you all that you need if you have the Holy Spirit in you. He paid for it on the cross. It's finished. So Lord, I'm asking for faith to grow in us. I'm asking God that we would learn to be persistent, that we would shamelessly come and keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking and keep calling on your door, Lord, because we know that you hear, because we know that as we keep knocking, the door will be opened. Lord, that you respond to our prayer. And I break off, Lord, any lie where we believe that you don't care, that you won't respond, that you don't hear us, that we're not good enough. And God, I pray that we'd be able to celebrate the testimonies, celebrate what you're doing and what you have done. And I ask for breakthrough. Lord, each person right now, you know what they're thinking about. You know the situations they face. Lord, I pray for breakthrough. I pray for breakthrough for provision. I pray, Lord, for breakthrough for jobs. I pray for relationships that are suffering. Maybe it's kids that have walked away or grandkids or parents. And Lord, where there's just been despair and destruction and pain, I just pray for healing. Lord, for anyone that's in need this morning of physically or spiritually or emotional healing, I pray for your touch on their body in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you that you died and rose again. You conquered all of that on the cross, and you have now put the power of God in us. And Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, God, who thought this is just about religion, I just pray, God, that I just pray that your truth would reign in all of our hearts, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that all of us would respond to you, that we'd come running, that we'd come knocking. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would draw us, that you'd bring us closer, you'd strengthen us. God, help us to dig in, to pray, to cry out, to intercede. Lord, that we would not stay the same, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to give a quick, simple invitation. If you have never invited Jesus into your life, but you want to get to know him, you want to make him Lord over your life, would you just slip up your hand, because I'd love to be able to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you, I just want to pray with you. If you are feeling like you are far from the Lord today and just are not where you should be, in fact, why don't you just close your eyes? So I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I just feel like I should do this. If you just feel like you're not right with the Lord today, would you slip up your hand if you would like prayer? Because I want to give that simple invitation. Thank you, God. So Lord, I just pray for each one of us. I pray that our hearts would be right before